Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Kufayin Beis, Baba Basra 172a, pagination is 343. We start at the Mishnah, about 12 lines from the bottom of the page. Shnei Achin, two brothers. Echad Ani ve'echad Ashir. One is poor, and one is wealthy. V'niach lehen avia merchatz ubeis habad, and their father, upon his passing, left them a bathhouse or a pressing house. Ason l'schar haschar lo emtza. If it's done for renting out its services, so then that's easy. They could continue the enterprise, have people come and bathe there and pay a fee, have people come and press their olives in this pressing house and earn a fee, and haschar le'emtza, they'll share the earnings. They'll become shutfim, partners in the item that was inherited. So that's fairly straightforward how these two people can navigate the future. They'll get a paycheck from the enterprise. Ason la'atzma. What happens, however, if it was made for himself and remains as such? It's a personal type use, bathhouse or pressing house. So they could certainly continue using it between themselves. The problem over here, where the Mishnah purposefully chose a case of one is poor and one is wealthy, is that the wealthy one is very happy with a personal bathhouse and a personal place to press his olives, but the poor person really doesn't have much use for such a thing. Nevertheless, Harei he'asher omer la'ani, the wealthy person can tell the poor person, kach lecha avodim v'yirchatsu, if you want, you can enlarge your home bodies. You can acquire, literally, slaves. And v'yirchatsu b'merchatz, and they'll also be entitled to bathe in the bathhouse. In other words, if you don't feel you have much use, I'm getting tremendous use because I have a big family with lots of servants, and you're just a husband, wife, and a few children, and you really don't see much use for a personal bathhouse. Well, that's circumstances, your problem. Kach lecha zesim. Ubava ase beves habad. You can buy olives and you can press them here, but the poor guy doesn't have olives. But the rich person says that's the way the cookie crumbles. That's just the way it is. And this is what we inherited. If you don't have much use for it, so be it. And I'll just use it to the extent that it works for me. Now, the concept that's involved over here is basically a global concept of shutfim, partners, where one of them wants out. He doesn't like this partnership. And there's a rule, god o agud, that I make an offer, which is taken very seriously, of either I buy or I sell, but I want this partnership to be dissolved. And if the poor person in this case would like to dissolve the partnership because he wants to get cash out, if he was able to, he would say, I'm either buying or selling. It's your choice. According to the market value, I'll buy you out, or else you have to buy me out. And that would be true even if he can put together a loan, which he owes money separately, but he has cash in hand that he can make the offer. However, the Mishnah is talking in a case where he does not have cash on hand. He doesn't have the ability to make such an offer. And he's only saying, buy me out. He's not offering, I'll buy you out or you be buy me out, which is the way Chazal were misaken this rule that you can make an offer and the other person has to take it seriously. It's only if it's a two-sided offer. One-sided offer, just buy me out, that's not binding. That's a nice offer. The person takes it or he doesn't take it. Another possible recourse for the poor person is in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph Se'if Ches, Im Haya HaMakam Asui Liskar Sochrim Osa V'chokim Scharo. If it's a place where such items are often rented out, so then you rent it out and they divide the proceeds. In other words, even if the father was using it as his personal bathhouse and his personal pressing house, but if the configuration, the situation is such that such an item could be rented out, then the poor brother has the right to say, let's rent it out so that it would be equitable. But the case of our Mishnah is that it's not normal to rent this particular item out based on the circumstances, and the only thing the poor person wants is buy me out. And on that, there is no such rule to require the rich brother to buy him out. Again, only if it's god or ugod, if he says, I'll buy you or you be buy me, then something has to happen. Something has to give, because that's a takanas chazal. Now, the case over here is presented that two brothers are unwittingly becoming partners because of an asset that their father bequeaths to them, and they have to deal with it. It's not easily divided. There is theoretically another case where two people become unwittingly partners. And that is, among other cases we might be able to think up, but a case where two people in town have the same name. And an IOU exists that somebody owes them money. Or better said, owes him money, but we're not sure who the him is. You have two people by the name of Yosef ben Shimon. And there's a document here that says that a certain person owes $500 to Yosef ben Shimon. So even if everybody here is looking to be honest, we don't know what this document means. The guy is willing to pay $500, but he's not sure who he's paying to. They're trying to collect, and they don't really have definitive ability to collect. So in some cases, you might actually have this play out that Yosef ben Shimon A and Yosef ben Shimon B will become partners in the $500 that's owed, so to speak, by authorizing the other one, whichever one chooses, I'm giving you a harsha'a, I'm giving you authorization, go collect the money, either you're collecting for you, or through my authorization, you're bal devarim didiat, you're my representative, and you're going to collect from me, and then what should we do? We'll split the money. We're both holding the money, so to speak. We're in agreement that it's just as much doubtful whether it's owed to you or owed to me. We don't remember, so we'll split the money. The Mishnah is quite possibly continuing on that theme and says, Shinayim Shayu Beir Achas, there are two people in a city, Shem Echad Yosef ben Shimon, Vishem Echad Acher Yosef ben Shimon. The name of one is Yosef ben Shimon, and the name of the other is also Yosef ben Shimon. Ein Yecholim Lohotzi Shtar Chov Ze Al Ze. They can't produce a document, one on the other, because we're not really sure who's owed to who. And a different person is not allowed to bring a shtarchov on them because we don't know who really owes the money. Again, as I mentioned, it's like theoretical, like between the lines. What would happen if money was owed to them? That becomes a partnership that is able to be navigated by authorization that one of them collect. Skip a line. Ketzad Ya'asu, what's the correct procedure with such people who have the same name, Yeshaleshu, they should list a third generation in the document, Yosef ben Shimon ben whoever, and hopefully the two of them have different grandfathers' names. V'mhayu meshulashim, and if their grandparents are the same name, yichtivu simen, they should write something about them that's definitive, the tall one, the short one, something about them that would define which Yosef and Shimon we're talking about. V'mhayu mesumanim, and if they're the same in description, yichtivu kohen, then you should go on to other types of descriptions, such as if one of them is a kohen, then you would write that the kohen is the one we're talking about. It's interesting that first the Mishnah proposes the possibility of misumanim being the thing that defines them, and then if misumanim doesn't work, a personal attribute, then you would move on to like a legal status, like kohen, in order to define which one we're talking about. Yasher koach. Thank you for joining.